Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the 8th episode of the 17th topic that we have been discussing previously. As you know, in the previous couple of episodes, I have been analyzing the chains of narration of the Sabatul Ahruf narrative. We have already discussed the chains of narration of the Umar Hisham narrative, and then later on in the second place, we have discussed a narrative from Usman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu. Today we will continue this quest, and the narrator that we shall discuss is Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiyallahu anhu. So, as you can see from the screen, the narrator is being displayed before you. As far as Ubay is concerned, we have seven of his students who report this narrative from him. Among them are Sulaiman ibn Surat, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Anas ibn Malik, Ubadah ibn Samit, Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Abul Hakam. So these are the seven people who report this narrative from Ubay, and we shall discuss the chains of narration of each of them separately. I will not be reading out all the contents as far as the narratives and their Arabic text and their translation is concerned, because most of them have already been read out in the analysis that had had taken place in the earlier talks. But what I'll do is I'll summarize perhaps the narrative in case it is needed. And if it is a new narrative which has not been discussed before, then only then I shall read out the text and translation. Now, as I said, that we shall take up the narratives of Ubay ibn Ka'b. So as far as Ubay ibn Ka'b is concerned, the first student who narrates this narrative that we'll discuss from him is Sulaiman ibn Surat. And from Sulaiman ibn Surat, we have three separate variants as well. So I'm going to discuss each of these three variants separately, because they are of a separate category. The first of them is Abu Ishaq Hamdani, the second is Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and the third is Suqair al-Abadi. So all these three shall be discussed separately. Now, first I'll come to the Abu Ishaq al-Hamdani's variant. So Abu Ishaq is narrating from Sulaiman ibn Surat, and who narrates from Ubay ibn Ka'b. So this is these are the three steps in which this narration shall be discussed. Now, this narration primarily is the famous Ubay ibn Ka'b narration, in which he was very dumbfounded. He was wonderstruck when he heard that the Prophet had ratified people who he had brought before him reading the Quran differently. And this had really caused a tremendous alarm in his heart. And he said that the extent of doubt that crept in his mind was huge. We have discussed this narrative earlier on, and we know that later on, after some more details which the Prophet provided, he ultimately ended up by saying that the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf. The chain of narration of this narrative now is being displayed before you. You can see that its chain of narration, in the first three steps, we find Ubay ibn Ka'b, and from him, Sulaiman ibn Surat, and then Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is the person who narrates this narrative. As far as Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is concerned, you can see he's the person who narrates from Sulaiman ibn Surat, and here lies the problem in this isnad. Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is a famous mudallis, as has been pointed out by many, many important biographers of Rijal, and they include Ibn Habban, they include Ibn Hajar in his Tehzib al-Tehzib, and similarly As-Suyuti in his Asma al-Mudallisin. They have pointed out that Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is a mudallis, and Zahabi furthermore has also pointed out that on the authority of Jarir ibn Mughira, that he's not a person who's trustworthy from what he reports from the Kufans, and this narrative is from Sulaiman ibn Surat, who is a Kufan. So Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri, who is also Abu Ishaq al-Hamadani, he is the person who is suspect in this chain of narration. As you can see, he is the focal point of this chain of narration. It is from him that the branches of this variant, they further branch out. But he is the person who is not reliable, and his tadlis is something which is under question. And all his variants which emanate from him, all these variants, they contain his anana, and therefore we cannot rely upon them. Viewers, now in the second step, in the second variant of this regard, in this matter, we are discussing the variants of Sulaiman ibn Surat. We have already discussed Abu Ishaq's variant from him. Now we are coming to the next student of his, and that is Yahya ibn Ya'mar. And this Yahya ibn Ya'mar narrative, viewers, also is a famous one, in which we have already found out that Ubay and Ibn Mas'ud had a difference in reading the Quran. And then the difference was brought before the Prophet, who actually ratified both these differences and said that as long as verses of mercy and verses of punishment are not interchanged with one another, it is okay to read this Quran. And this narrative, viewers, you have also been read in previously in our talk. So as you can see, its chain of narration is being displayed before you. And the primary issue in this chain of narration is that Qatada ibn Dhi'amah is a mudallis, and all the variants except one recorded by al-Bahiki, there is his anana, and that exception is in the Sunan al-Sughra. This exception can be now attributed to the handiwork of a lower narrator, given the fact that Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that Qatada has not heard from Yahya ibn Ya'mar. So the issue is that Yahya ibn Ya'mar is the Qatada is a person who has not heard from Yahya ibn Ya'mar. So if there is one exception, as you can see in the Sunan al-Sughra of al-Bahiqi, which does not contain the anana, so this can, as I said, be attributed to the fact that this is some handiwork of a lower narrator, because we can clearly see that a person as reliable as Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that Qatada has not heard from Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and this has been specified by Al-Fasafi in his Ma'rifah wa Ta'riq. So furthermore, viewers, you can also see that another narrator who is suspect is Hammam ibn Yahya. Now, he has been indicated by that red arrow before you, and Hammam ibn Yahya is the person who narrates from Qatada ibn Dhi'amah. So Qatada narrates from Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and from Qatada, you can see the person who narrates is Hammam ibn Yahya. So Al-Mizzi in his Tehzeeb al-Kamal says that on the authority of Abdullah ibn Ammar, that Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan would not narrate from Hammam ibn Yahya. Amr ibn Ali says that Yahya would not narrate from him. Abu Hatim says about him, fihi shay, fi hifzihi shay, which of course is a tasted indication to the fact that his hifz is not that strong. Ibn Hajar records about Hammam ibn Yahya that in the opinion of Yazid ibn Zurayh, he had a bad memory. According to Abu Bakr al-Bardiji, he is Sadukun yuktabu hadithu wa la yuhtajju bihi. And in the opinion of As-Saji, he is Sadukun sayyul hifz. So, viewers, this is as far as the narrations of Yahya ibn Ya'mar are concerned, and they are the ones in which he basically reports from Sulaiman ibn Surd. And he is the second student that we have discussed so far from Sulaiman ibn Surd. And the third student, viewers, that we're going to discuss is Suqair al-Abadi. And Suqair al-Abadi is a person who narrates from Sulaiman ibn Surd, and his narrative has also been discussed previously. But basically, this is in a narrative in which Ubayy ibn Ka'b actually heard someone reading the Quran differently from what he had himself read in a particular instance. And when both of them came in the presence of the Prophet ratified that both of them have read it correctly, and ultimately ended up by saying that the Quran has been revealed on 7 Ahruf. And again, this is a narrative in which Ubayy was also very, very alarmed at this ratification of the Prophet. So in this particular narrative, as you can see, that its chain of narration is being displayed before you on the screen. You can see that Ubayy ibn Ka'b is the main person. From him, it is Sulaiman ibn Surd, and then Suqair al-Abadi is the person. And below Suqair al-Abadi, you find Abu Ishaq al-Sabi, and then from him, you find Israel ibn Yunus. Now, the point of discussion, or the point of importance that we need to realize here, is that this narrative is weak because of Suqair al-Abadi, who is actually Majhul al-Ayn. Because only Abu Ishaq al-Sabi narrates from him. Now, we know Majhul al-Ayn are those people from whom there is only one narrator reporting. And this is the case. So, we can see that Abu Ishaq is the only person. This has been specified by our Rijal authorities, that there is a single person who narrates from him, and he is only Abu Ishaq. Shuaib al-Arnaut regards Isnad to be weak and suspect because of this very reason. And this he has pointed out in his monumental work on the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Also, viewers, another point of note here is that Abu Ishaq al-Sabi is a mudallis, and all the variants contain his anana. We have already discussed this previously when we were discussing his narrations from Sulaiman ibn Surd, that it contains his anana. And since it contains his anana, so therefore all these variants become suspect because of this issue. Viewers, also worthy of mention is the fact that Israel ibn Yunus, who is a person who narrates from Abu Ishaq. Now, though many authorities regard Israel ibn Yunus to be reliable, yet Ali ibn Madini says that he is zaif. And as per one opinion attributed to Yaqub ibn Shayba, he is laysa bil qawi fil hadith wala bis as-saqit. So although he is laysa bil qawi, he's not that strong, and this expression often comes when a person's memory is not that strong. However, he's not as bad as the fact that people should abandon him. That is the opinion of Yaqub ibn Shayba. So this, viewers, in a nutshell, is a summary of the narrations of Sulaiman ibn Surad from Ubay ibn Ka'b. And we have seen that the three people who narrate from him, Abu Ishaq al-Hamadani, Yahya ibn Yamr, and Suqair al-Abadi, these are the three students of Sulaiman ibn Surad who have these three separate variants from him. And each of them has his flaws. So now we come to the second of Ubay's students, and he is Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And before we discuss the students who narrate from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, there is a strong evidence, viewers, that the narrations of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla himself from Ubay are munkata. And the reason here is that it is known that Ibn Abi Layla, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, was born when 6 years of Umar's caliphate remained, which has been pointed out by Al-Ala'i in his Jami' al-Tahsil. And this comes out to be 17 Hijra, in other words. And according to Ibn Abdul Barr, the majority of scholars believe that Ubay died in the times of the Caliph Umar, either in 19 or 22 Hijra. So we can see that Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla was born in 17 Hijra. And we can also see that Ubay ibn Ka'b died in 19 or 22 Hijra. So if this is correct, then Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla would just be a couple of years old, 3 years old, a small infant at the time of Ubay's death. Now, there is some more detail to this as well. There are some scholars who regard Ubay's death to be as far as 32 Hijra. So this would mean that if Ibn Abi Layla was born in 17 and Ubay died in 32, then he was in an age in which we could have heard from Ubay ibn Ka'b. But then there's a question mark on this as well, because the age of death of Ubay ibn Ka'b to be recorded in 32 Hijra has problems, which I'm just going to narrate before you. Now, Waqidi says that there are Waqidi himself is the person who says that he actually thinks that Ubay died in 32 Hijra. However, he admits that he has heard from Ubay's family himself that the latter died in 22 Hijra. So although Waqidi has this opinion that that he died in 32 Hijra, but he also admits that members of the family of Ubay ibn Ka'b held otherwise, and they contrarily said that he actually died in 22 Hijra. Now, Zahabi has challenged the narrative on the basis of which actually Waqidi has formed this opinion. Now, Waqidi's opinion is based on a narrative which is found in various books. One of them is Siru Alam in Nubala. And the narrative says that it is by Ibn Sirin, and it says that Usman gathered 12 people from the Quraysh and the Ansar for the collection of the Quran, and among them was Ubay ibn Ka'b and Zayd ibn Sabit. So if Usman gathered people, then of course it would mean then that this could not have taken place in the times of Umar. So as I said, that actually it is Zahabi who is criticizing this opinion of Waqidi, because according to Waqidi, it was Usman who had gathered 12 people, and among these 12 people, one of them was Ubay ibn Ka'b. Now, the criticism by Zahabi is that the narrative on which Waqidi has formed this opinion, which I have just stated before you, this narrative, he says that it is Mursal, and it would have been, had this been true, then Ubay would have written the Quran, that Ubay had written the Quran in times of Usman, then it would have become famous. Whereas what is famous in this regard is that Zaid's name, he's the person who had actually written the Quran in times of Usman. Now, Zahabi goes on to say that Ubay's death was in the times of Umar. So he actually corroborates the majority view that he died in the times of Umar, and Umar, we know, died in 22nd Hijra, and he negates the fact that he actually died in the times of Usman. Now, I would also like to substantiate here that the narrative which says that Usman actually had gathered 12 people from the from the Quraysh and the Ansar, and among them was Ubay. Although it's a Mursal narrative, we also see that it has been reported in its Muttasil form. So, although the criticism by Zahabi is that it is a Mursal narrative, but I can also add that there is another narrative which is very similar, which exactly has the same words, but it is reported in its Muttasil form. And as you can see, that it is being displayed before you, and the words are, لما أراد عثمان أن يكتب المصاحف جمع له 12 رجلا من قريش والأنصار فيهم أبي بن قعب وزيد بن ثابت قال فبعثوا إلى الربعة التي في بيت عمر فجيء بها قال وكان عثمان يتعاهدهم فكانوا إذا تدارؤوا في شيء أخروه قال محمد فقلت لكثير وكان فيهم في من يكتب هل تدرون لما كانوا يؤخرونه قال لا قال محمد فظننت ظنا إنما كانوا يؤخرونها لينظروا أحدثهم أحدا بالعرض الآخرة فيكتبونها على قوله. So it's exactly the same narrative. As you can see, this chain of narration, it is muttasil. It says حدثنا عبد الله قال حدثنا إسحاق بن إبراهيم بن زيد قال حدثنا أبو بكر قال حدثنا هشام بن حسان عن محمد بن سيرين عن كثير بن أفلا. So although the previous narrative ended on Ibn Sirin, it says that Ibn Sirin actually has reported this narrative from Kasir ibn Afla, and the words are exactly the same. Now, the problem with this narrative, although is very clear, I'm not going to read out the translation of the narrative because it's exactly the same. In a nutshell, it says that Usman gathered 12 people in his times, and they belonged both to the Ansar and the Quraysh, and among them was Ubay and Zayd ibn Thabit. Now, this chain of narration, viewers, is being depicted before you on the screen. And the problem with this chain of narration is that it suffers from the following flaws and hence cannot be relied upon. Now, I'm going to just let these flaws come before you. Now, as you can see, the chart which is being displayed before you, Ibn Hajar says about Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim Ibn Zayd, known as Shazan, as you can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. Now, he is found in the chain of narration with his narrative, and about him, Ibn Hajar writes, Lahu Manakir wa Gharaib. About Abu Bakr Ibn Ayyash, as you can see, his name is also being displayed by the arrow or indicated by the arrow. Zahabi records the following things. He is Sadukun Sabtun in Khirat, however, in Hadith, Yaglato wa Yahimu. And he makes mistakes and he also errs. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Numair, and Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Numair regards him to be weak. Abu Nu'aym says that none of the shuyukh make more errors than Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that he is trustworthy, yet at times makes errors. Another opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal about him is that he makes many mistakes. However, his books are free from error. So when he narrates from his memory, he makes a lot of mistakes, but that is what the implication is. Now, Yahya ibn Sa'id is reported to have said that Abu Bakr had Abu Bakr been near him, he would never have asked anything from him, and it is also reported that he would not regard Abu Bakr to be of any stature. And when his name would be mentioned before him, he would contort his face, obviously in distaste. Now, Abu Ubaidah Majah ibn Zubair is also suspect. As you can see that his name is also being displayed. Abu Ubaidah Majah ibn Zubair. About him, Ibn Hajar records that Al-Darqutni regards him to be Zaif. Al-Uqayli has mentioned him in his Az-Zu'afa. Shoba would not trust him. And Ibn Khaddash says that he's laysa mimman yu'tabaru bihi. So he's not among those people who can be trusted. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned, and you can clearly see that this has a problem in it. The problems which have been pointed out clearly render it to be a narrative which cannot be trusted, even though it is muttasil. So I can clearly corroborate what Zahabi has already said, that this view that Ubay was alive in the times of Usman cannot be relied upon because of the nature of the reports. And so therefore we can clearly see that the earlier supposition, or the earlier actually premise which had been put forth by our Rijal authorities, that Abdul Rahman, that Ubay actually died in the times of Umar, is true. And if that is true, then Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, who died in 17 Hijrah, and Ubayy, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, who was born in 17 Hijrah, and Ubayy died in 22 Hijrah, if this is just relied upon and considered, then we can clearly see that ibn Abi Layla would just have been a couple of years old at the death of Ubayy. Hence, all what he reports, he would have been a couple of years old at the death of Ubayy. And all that he reports from Ubayy would therefore be regarded as munkata. But still, viewers, in spite of this detail, I'm going to still discuss some of the narrations which have been reported by Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And the people who report this narrative from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla are seven. So seven students of ibn Abi Layla report this narrative. I'm just going to make this point or establish this point further, that even though it is reasonably established that ibn Abi Layla did not meet Ubayy ibn Ka'b, and all his narrations from Ubayy ibn Ka'b are munkata, broken, and therefore they cannot be relied upon. But even for the sake of discussion, we discuss the variants which have been reported by Ibn Abi Layla, then I'm going to point out the flaws which furthermore exist, besides the inkata which is already there between him and Ubayy ibn Ka'b. So now I'm going to narrate the first person who reports from Ibn Abi Layla, and he is Mujahid ibn Jabr. I'm not going to read out the narrative before you, and this is a narrative in which has been reported by Ubayy ibn Ka'b, and he actually says that the Prophet was once near the puddle of the Banu Ghifar when Gabriel came to him and said that God has directed you to recite the Quran to your own people on one harf. And then at this the Prophet replied, "I asked for God's mercy and forgiveness. My people are not capable of doing this." So this is a slight different variant in which actually the Prophet himself presented his excuse that the people would not be able to read it on one harf. And then we find that Gabriel again came back to him and he increased this huruf until the matter reached seven. So the final words of the narrative are, "An taqra ummatuka al-Qur'an ala sabati ahruf, innama harfin qara'u alayhi faqad asabu. Fa ayyuma harfin qara'u alayhi faqad asabu." So this is what has been reported. And as far as the chain of narration of this narrative is concerned, viewers, it has been displayed before you. You can clearly see that from Ubayy ibn Ka'b, the person who narrates is Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. From him, we find Mujahid ibn Jabr. He's the person under question. And from Mujahid, you can see there are two chains. One is a branching off to Bukayr ibn al-Akhnas, and the second one is al-Hakam ibn Utaybah. Now, al-Hakam ibn Utaybah is a mudallis, and all his variants contain his anana. So the problem here is that Hakam ibn Utaybah is a mudallis, and all his variants contain his anana, and so therefore the variants which are below him, they cannot be trusted. Now, as far as the second branch is concerned, as you can see, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Amrish is present, and he is a mudallis, and there are a lot of discrepancies or istirab in his narrative, as has been pointed out by Az-Zahabi in his Mizan al-Atidal, and I have been referring to this all along, that Amrish is a person, is a mudarris, and there is istirab or discrepancies in his narratives. And also, here as well, you can see if I can demonstrate it before you, that all the narratives which have Amrish have his anana. So he has the anana present in all the variants which are from him, and therefore his tadlis is also established here. So this is as far as the first student of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla is concerned, and he is Mujahid ibn Jabr. Now, viewers, I come to the second student of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and he is Abdullah ibn Isa. And this narrative also, viewers, we have discussed earlier on. And in a nutshell, it says that Abu ibn Ka'b said that I was in the mosque when a man entered and prayed and recited with a recitation which I did not know of. Then another man entered and recited in recitation which differed from his companion. So when the prayer had been finished, all these people had gone to the messenger. And then Ubayy actually posited the fact that he had heard these people differing. And again, the same narration which says that the Prophet ratified. And again, Ubayy said that the doubt that arose in his mind, the likes of which did not occur even during the time of Jahiliyyah. So this is that narrative that we have already discussed. Now, as far as the chain of narration of this narrative is concerned, viewers, you can see that it is being displayed before you. And you can see that the focal point in this regard is that according to Ali ibn Madini, Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla is Munkar al-Hadith. So the person who is in question, and the person who actually narrates from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, he is Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. He is Munkar al-Hadith, and this has been regarded to be so by Ibn Hajar in his Tehzib al-Tehzib. And Darqutni furthermore says that he is Matruq al-Hadith. And we know that a person is Matruq al-Hadith, and he is a person who is guilty of lying. So therefore, viewers, we can clearly see that in the presence of Abdullah ibn Isa, this narrative cannot be taken because of the fact that he is a person who is extremely suspect. He is being regarded variously as Munkar al-Hadith and as well as Matruq al-Hadith. The third person now, viewers, that we're going to take up is Isa ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and he reports from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And as far as this narration is concerned, it says, I'm just going to briefly read it out, that Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla reports from Ubayy that one day I entered the mosque to pray, and the prayer I began with reading Surah An-Nahl and read it. Then I sat down. A person came over and stood to offer the prayer, and he too began with Surah An-Nahl and read it differently from me. When he had finished, I asked him, "Who taught you this?" He replied, "The Messenger of God." Then another person came and began with Surah An-Nahl. So this is a third person. And read it differently from me and from my other friend. When he had finished, I asked him, "Who taught you this?" He replied, "The Messenger." At this, again, we find the same words of Ubayy, that the element of doubt that came in his mind was very strong. And so he got hold of both these people and took them to the Prophet and asked him that this is how Surah An-Nahl is being read differently by these people. And he himself also has a different opinion in this regard. And again, we have that narrative in which there's a sequence. And then finally, the Prophet says that the Quran has been revealed on 7 Ahruf. Now, this I've just summarized this narrative because this narrative has been read earlier on variously as well. Now, as you can see, that its chain of narration is being displayed before you. You see, it is Ubayy ibn Ka'b, who's the person at the top. And then we have Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And then we have Isa ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. Now, I have been totally at loss to find any jar on Tadil on Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah. As you can see, that his name is being displayed, or he's been indicated by the arrow just before you. So I have not been able to find any jarah on him. He's famously called as Abu Ishaq ibn Khurshayad. And similarly, I've also not been able to find any jar or ta'dil on Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali. And you can see that his name also is being displayed before you. Now, Ibn Hibban has recorded that Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla in his Al-Majruheen, he has recorded his name in his Al-Majruheen. So which would obviously mean that Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, who you can see viewers also is being indicated on the screen before you, he is the person who reports from Isa ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. So Ibn Hibban, who is, we know he's a person who is a very liberal person and regarding the jar of narrators, but he too has regarded Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla in his Al-Majruheen. He's recorded his name there. An-Nasai says that he is Laysa bil Qawi fil Hadith. Ibn Hajar records that he is Saduqun Sayyul Hifz. Now, Ibn Adi records that in the opinion of Ahmad bin Hanbal, he is Za'if Muztaribul Hadith. As-Sa'adi says that he is Wahil Hadith Sayyul Hifz. Shurba says that he's not seen anyone having a worse memory than Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is Za'iful Hadith. Ibn al-Jawzi says that in the opinion of Abu Hatim, he is La Yuhtajju Bihi. Ibn Hibban says that he makes blatant mistakes, has a bad memory, and as a result, there are many manakir in his narratives, and he deserves to be forsaken. He deserves to be abandoned. Al-Darqutni says that he is Radiul Hifz, Kasirul Waham. So you can see the extent of jarh which has been recorded on the personality of Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, which makes him absolutely untrustworthy. Now, the fourth person viewers we are going to discuss who reports from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, he is Al-Hakam ibn Utaybah, and he has as far as the narrative is concerned, is exactly the previous one. It is just a tahwil from him, so therefore we have to discuss him separately. And you can see that his name is now, the chart which figures him is being displayed before you. And as you can see that it is basically Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and Al-Hakam ibn Utaybah is the person who is narrating. And he is the person who is narrating, and therefore we can see that in this chain of narration also the problem is that it is Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla who is also present. So although Al-Hakam ibn Utaybah is there, he is the person who narrates from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, but you can clearly see that below him is Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. And Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, I have just discussed the tremendous jarh that has which I have just my previous variant. So therefore, this variant cannot be relied upon. Viewers, now we've come to the fifth person who narrates from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and his name is Zubayd ibn al Haris al Kufi. And his narration is also, the chart is being displayed before you. Very briefly put, his narration is that Zubayd reports from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, who reports from Ubay ibn Ka'b, that Gabriel came to the Prophet while he was in the puddle, at the puddle of Bani Ghifar. So he said, "O Muhammad, God has directed you to read the Quran on one harf." So he kept on asking to increase until this matter reached seven ahruf. Again, this I have just described this narrative or stated it, because although I have already read it out earlier in my analysis, but still just a small revision. This is a very small or a brief form of the narrative which has been otherwise reported more in detail by other narrators. As you can see, that its chart is being displayed before you. The schematic illustration is being displayed before you. Now, according to Shaib al-Arnaut, the isnad is weak because of the fact that only two people narrate from Umar ibn Salim al-Aftas, and only Ibn Habban is regarded him trustworthy, and thus Umar is majhul. This is what Shaib al-Arnaut says, that he says that the only person to narrate from him, then he says that only two people narrate from Umar ibn Salim, just two people, and only Ibn Habban has regarded him to be trustworthy, and thus, according to whom Umar, he is according to although he is regarded him to be trustworthy, he says that Umar is majhul. Now Shuaib al-Arnaut further says that the mention of Zubayd ibn al-Haris from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla is ghair mehfuz, because in sounder narratives it is Mujahid who narrates from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. So this is what he has stated, that basically that the mention of Zubayd ibn Haris from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla is ghair mehfuz. It is not properly reported. So hence, if we rely on the critique of Shuaib al-Arnaut, this particular variant also stands to question. Now, viewers, the sixth and final variant from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla is by Ubaidullah ibn Umar. And this also is almost the same narrative in which the Surah Nahl episode had taken place, and we have already discussed this earlier. As you can see, that the chain of narration or the schematic illustration is being displayed before you. You can see that it is Ubaidullah ibn Umar who narrates from Abdurrahman Abu Abni Layla. Now, the narrative is broken because, as specified by Al-Harabi, Ubaidullah ibn Umar never met Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. So, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, we have already seen that there is an obvious inqita between him and his teacher or informant, who is Ubay ibn Ka'b. We have already discussed that, but as you can see that we are discussing people who report from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and we are now discussing the sixth and final person, and he is Ubaidullah ibn Umar. So, Harbi has recorded that Ubaidullah ibn Umar never met Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, and this has been recorded by Al-Mizzi in his Tazib al-Kamal, which clearly shows that there is another inqita in this narrative. Besides the inqita between Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla and Ubay ibn Ka'b, we have a further inqita, which is, now this time it is between Ubaidullah ibn Umar and Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. Viewers, moreover, Mizzi has recorded the following jar on Hisham ibn Sa'd. Now, Hisham ibn Sa'd, as you can see that his name is being indicated in the chart. Now, he is a person who reports from Ubaidullah ibn Umar, and he is also extremely suspect. So, Mizzi has recorded his jar on him. And I'm just going to put forth some of the main points of this jar before you. So, Yahya ibn Sa'd would not narrate from him. In the opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he is not muhkam al-hadith, he is not sound. Yahya ibn Umayn says that he is za'if and laysa bizaq al-kawi. Abu Hatim says, yuktabu hadithuhu wa la yuhtajju bihi. An-Nasai says that he is za'if and at another place says that he is laysa bil-kawi. Ibn Hibban records, he would shuffle isnads and would not know and would make mawkuf narratives into marfu ones without knowing. So, he had a habit of mixing up isnads, and he would end up making the mawkuf narratives to be marfu ones. So when he started to narrate from trustworthy people that which was against what was narrated by more trustworthy people, adducing from him became prohibited. And if he is relied on what he narrates in harmony with Sika, there is no problem. So that is what he said. As far as he is alone, if he's narrating something, then it is a problem. But if he's narrating something which is in consonance with most Sika narrators, then it is that is okay. Viewers, we come now to the seventh and final person in this regard. I was previously regarding this Zubair to be the final person. No, I have one more student of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, and he is Ubaidullah ibn Musa. Now, Ubaidullah ibn Musa, as you can see that his narration, although I'm just going to read it out before you, it's very simple. It says that inna Jibreel alayhi salam atani faqal inna rabbaka ya'muruka an taqral Quran ala sabati ahruf. So this is one of the simplest of narrations in which the sabat ahruf narrative has just been reported in its words, in which there is no background. And this says that Ubay ibn Ka'ab reports from the Prophet that Gabriel, may peace be upon him, came to me and said, this is what Ubay says, that the Prophet had said to him, indeed, your Lord has directed you to read on seven ahruf. So this is a simple narration. Now, as you can see that its chart is being displayed before you, and you can see that Ubaidullah ibn Musa is the person who narrates from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. Now, this narrative is broken between Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla and Ubaidullah ibn Musa, because, viewers, this is a simple calculation that Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla died in 83 Hijra. This has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib. Whereas Ubaidullah ibn Musa was born in 128 Hijra. So Ubaidullah ibn Musa was actually born more than almost 50 years after the death of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. So this inqita, or this broken factor between the two, is easily recognizable. And Ubaidullah ibn Musa, the fact that he died in that he was born in 128 Hijra has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Tehzib al-Tehzib. So viewers, this is a summary, or this would be a general statement of the fact that we have covered the two students of Ubay ibn Ka'ab in this regard. So viewers, we can see that in this today's talk, I have covered two students of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. One of them is Sulaiman ibn Surad. He was discussed earlier on, and I've just finished discussing the second of his students, who is Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. This discussion is going to continue in the next talk as well, in which we shall take up some of the other students of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. But so far as today's talk is concerned, I will end my discussion here. I can clearly let you know, or you can clearly observe the fact that the narrations of Sulaiman ibn Surad from Ubay ibn Ka'ab are not reliable. And as far as the narrations of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla from Ubay ibn Ka'ab are concerned, they have the basic flaw between them is the inqita between Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla and Ubay ibn Ka'ab. But nonetheless, I have examined seven students of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla who have reported this narrative from him. And we have also seen that they are, besides this inqita, which is present in all the variants, we have several other flaws in each of the variants, or each of the students of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, and hence the narratives that we have discussed so far, they cannot be relied upon. Inshallah, in the next talk, I shall take up some of the remaining students of Ubay ibn Ka'ab before we move on to the next narrator in this regard. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimina wal muslimat.